Blog Talk Radio.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart. In New York City, it's cloudy out. It's around, I think, 50 degrees, and of course, I'm inside, staying away from what's going on outside. We're going to be talking about what's happening now with young children. And the coronavirus, but I first want to introduce the person who's gonna be my guest, Yuchang Ma, who's a very empowered woman, and coming from a family of musicians. As a young girl, she learned to play the violin and would accompany her younger brother. While he was gaining the fame as a cellist, Yuchang added practicality to her repertoire and sought a career as a physician, focusing on pediatrics. Well, she never stopped her love for the violin and teaching it as well. Her father had first formed the Children's Orchestra Society before Yuchang took it over with her musician husband, Michael Dadap, who's a guitarist, composer, and conductor. Well, due to this recent pandemic, the orchestra had to cease on its teaching, rehearsals, and performances. However, Yuchang continues her position as a pediatrician via phone or internet. We will talk with her about what she does and how it all works. So let me get her on here and we'll say hello. Hello, Yuchang.
Hello, Merle. What a pleasure to be on your show.
Glad to have you. So the first thing we want to get into is what is going on with, like, that these children are getting, is it the exact same thing, the same pandemic, or something different? Because the symptoms seem different than the adults.
The symptoms for the children are different, and they seem to get a little less violently ill as the adults do. But there is a case that they have these weird symptoms like Kawasaki disease, which is a very rare disease, but apparently the kids who do get COVID-19 get that. The worries about the kids is that when they get it, most of them are asymptomatic, and so they don't know that they're sick, and they go around with their family, and they can infect family members, and that's especially dangerous for grandparents or any parents or relatives who are immunocompromised, such as people who are taking chemotherapy or radiation therapy.
So what's Kawasaki disease? What is that?
Well, it's a disease that manifests itself with fever and some blood disorders. As I said before, it's a very rare disease, and doctors are only just now recognizing it, so they're more on the alert to look for it.
Okay, so but they still have the coronavirus.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So now, as a pediatrician, you're now, practicing via the telephone or internet. Am I correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So explain how that all works. First, let me ask you, are you concentrating on your clients? I don't know whether you have clientele.
I have retired from the hospital in 2018.
Okay.
But I am still the medical director of two school districts in Westchester. One is Mount Vernon and one is Southern Westchester BOCES. So Southern Westchester BOCES is not holding any classes, so they're completely shut down. What I do for the two districts is I collate all of the information once a week and send it to the medical their supervisors, so that at all times they have the most current facts, both on the international and the national and the state level, as well as the counties in New York State. So they have an overview of that. Mount Vernon is actually only open for the children of first responders. So one of the schools is open so that they have small classes for childcare, but they have some kind of learning going on while they are there. And the nurses that I work with, they rotate taking care of those children.
Now, are you going up there, or you're
I'm doing everything from home. I check in and make sure that there are no medical problems. So anything, they have a problem, they need me to sign orders or anything, I can do it by internet or by phone.
So, but do you ever have anybody like calling you, or are you calling anybody?
I have friends and relatives who are anxious, and I have done some counseling by telephone, but that's not because of my pediatric practice. It's just people are feeling very lonely, and people are feeling very depressed and anxious, and quite understandably, because nobody knows how long this is going to last, and people are sick and tired of staying at home, I guess.
Yeah, I bet. When people are speaking with you, other than people being like upset, are they talking to you about like, oh, now I have a sore throat, does it mean I have a virus, or is that coming up?
I think people do have questions about that, and so I try to talk to them. Most of the time I try to talk them down, because apparently the testing is not quite as accessible as people might make us believe. So most people, unless they are sick, do not really get a chance to get tested. So that's still so we mostly do triage by telephone. Much as, they would get from urgent care by calling urgent care and getting their doctor to tell them what to do.
Do you ever do anything on Skype or whatever, the Zoom or things like that? Do you ever do something where you have
Well,
where you're using
the
computer with more than one person?
There are conferences that I can attend by Zoom, and so I do that just to keep updated on things. But I don't really have a practice anymore except for the school. So most of the time I just spend time with my students, my music students, which is my other life.
All right. We'll get into that as well.
Right.
Let's get into that now, as a matter of fact. And now that you can't, physically, with the Children's Orchestra Society, be there, et cetera, what kind of things can you do on the, by way of the internet?
Well, we have been holding Zoom meetings for our senior orchestra since March 28th. We canceled classes on March 14th and the 21st. And then on the 28th, we started working with the senior orchestra just to see what we can actually do. And, of course, with Zoom, there's a time lag, so we cannot actually rehearse a group together because then they'll all be out of sync. So what we do is we have a sectional and we have discussions, and each person plays in turn, and people can comment on it or contribute their thoughts. And then we are, we've had all our concerts canceled. We had a concert on March 22nd that we couldn't have because we canceled classes, so we were supposed to have two rehearsals and do that concert. And so that was canceled, and we have some student recitals that were canceled. We have a big gala coming up May 18th at Alice Tully Hall, but Lincoln Center canceled all their concerts at least through June and most likely through the summer. So we are actually going to moving on to having it as a virtual gala. So we have been working with an amazing videographer who is helping us put together various pieces, but it's kind of a very labor-intensive activity. So we're going to be doing our virtual gala in installments. And our guest artist who was supposed to play Tchaikovsky Concerto with us, we obviously cannot rehearse with her, so therefore we cannot really do that, but she's volunteered to send us one piece by Bach for solo violin so that she could be included in our virtual gala. And we hope to work with her again next year, because already Lincoln Center is asking us for a date in next May. And I had to reply to them that right this second, I'm not quite ready to discuss time for next May. And so...
I would have answered from your mouth to God's ears.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I mean, it was lucky that they canceled the concert, because if we had canceled the concert, we'd have lost the deposit that we put in.
Oh, okay.
But because they canceled, they are allowing us to transfer the deposit to next year's event. But I told them, give me a little time to figure out which way is up, because it's been extremely disruptive and I guess traumatic for some of the kids.
Oh yeah. Has any of the members of the kids or had gotten
None of our kids have gotten sick, even though people from their hockey team have gotten sick and people's relatives have gotten sick. Somebody's grandfather died because of COVID. But thank God, as far as I know, the members and their parents are all right. So.
Oh, good. That's and your family's in good shape too, right?
Yes, yes. My husband is going nuts, but because he's an outgoing person, so being confined to the house is not his idea of a life. So he tries his best.
I wondered about him.
Yes. So, fortunately, my sister-in-law needs some care, so he runs her errands for her, and he goes and visits her. So that at least takes him out of the house every so often, which, makes him happy.
And How about your daughter? Is she going up a wall?
My daughter is she had just gotten enough work so that she could be proud of herself working as an actress, but then, of course, everything got canceled, so now
right.
she's on unemployment, but she's making the best of her time by sewing masks and gowns for first responders.
Oh,
so,
that's
yeah.
great. She
yeah.
was, she was going to be in a play?
She was in several plays, and she was going to have
something that just came up, the more recent?
She was supposed to be in Oratorio for Living Things, which was a lovely piece where she played in the pit, but the pit is actually upstairs, and I was lucky I went to one of their final rehearsals because shortly after that they had to close. So at least I got to see it the way it was supposed to be seen. And now everybody's presenting their artistic efforts through Zoom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. I wonder if they could like stage a Broadway show through Zoom and try to do.
Well, no, I mean, they couldn't do it through Zoom, but they would have to, you know, have somebody coordinate it. Just, you know,
right.
at the very beginning of the pandemic, one of our alums who lives in Germany asked me to participate in a Brandenburg that somebody put together. And so I did that. And then there's one of the premier community orchestras, the Camerata Notturna. Another one of our alums who is a violist there asked me to play as a guest in the orchestra because they are having a performance of doctors who are musicians, and they are donating the proceeds of that virtual concert to help the first responders. So we're keeping busy.
Oh, that's good. Can we see you, like, performing someplace? I mean, can we see you on the internet performing?
I'll send you the Brandenburg so you can see me there. The other project hasn't started yet. So, you know, I was notified that I will be sent instructions, so I'm waiting. You know, we are hoping to release something for Mother's Day as a family. So, you know, we're trying to keep the spirits up and keep everybody else's spirits up.
Yeah, I think definitely what's happening, I think, in terms of restaurants, people will say, well, all this time I'm spending home, I've learned how to cook. I don't need to go out and eat.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things that's of concern is that even as the states open up, 3/4 of the people don't feel like they don't feel safe going out, so they're probably not
yeah.
going to go out. So there'll be a delicate balance for the shops and the restaurants to figure out how much it's going to cost them to stay open for 1/4 of the traffic that they are used to.
Right.
So that's going to be a delicate balancing act, I guess. We all
yeah.
have to adjust to the new normal, and nobody knows what the new normal is because it changes every day.
Yeah, I'm ready for some good Chinese food at this point.
Yes. Yeah, but I mean, you know, restaurants are willing to, I don't know if they deliver, but they're willing to have you pick
up. Yeah, there's takeouts, but there's,
right.
you know, there's Chinese and there's Chinese, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, the American Chinese, like, yeah, well, I'll pass on that. But I don't know about, you know, I don't know what the, like, I guess if you go into downtown Flushing or
well,
Elmhurst.
Well, you know, you can actually cook Chinese food yourself as long as you use garlic, white wine with any vegetable and soy sauce, and there you have it. It's Chinese vegetables. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got white wine. I got
garlic, yeah.
Oh, yeah, everything I do seems to be with ginger.
Yeah, that's good, too. Ginger is very good for you. Yes.
Yeah. But it's, you know, the only certain thing, I mean, you can't get, I'm not ready to make a duck again.
No.
Too much work.
Yeah, DUC is a labor-intensive project that only the very brave people will attempt.
Well, I have a new wave oven, and I've checked it out. It takes about an hour and a half, and it comes out perfect. But I just don't feel like dealing with it.
Yeah, that's a little complex, yes.
Yeah. But anyway, so to get back to this, so what do you have people telling you that they're learning? Are people like purposely taking maybe a music class via internet or something like that just to have something to do? Or?
Oh, yes. About half of my private students are taking lessons via Zoom or FaceTime.
In other words, you can tell them without showing them.
Right. Well, I can show them by using my violin, but I can't physically
touch
them.
Oh, right, because they see you and got it. That's true.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's true. So that at least that keeps you...
Yeah, I have some activity that I have become a bit of a botanist. I have grown tomato seedlings from tomatoes, just plain old tomato seeds. And I have some mung beans. And, of course, scallions are the easiest to grow. So, you know, nothing can kill a scallion. So at least we have a bit of greenery. My husband makes fun of me. He goes, oh, you're talking to your children again.
Oh, that's so funny. But
yeah,
my
friends are asking me, they go, I didn't know you were such a plant person. I go, oh, it's by necessity, you know.
Yeah. That's true. As I think about it, if people have, you know, backyards, they can make use of the backyard by growing food. And
yes.
You know,
so that sort of makes you avoid too many trips to grocery stores. And
right.
It's a pleasure to watch the plants grow. I don't know if I ever told you the story about my dad who told me when I was a small child, he goes, well, you know, you see this plant? I go, yes, Dad, I see the plant. He goes, you know, this plant grows every day. I go, well, yes, Dad, of course the plant grows every day. He goes, so if you don't improve and you don't grow every day, you're worse than a plant. And I'm like, ouch. So I'm definitely reminded, every day as I watch my plants grow, I'm reminded of the fact that I better be growing something also.
I think, didn't you post the seedling on Facebook?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
uh-huh.
I thought I saw that.
Right.
So,
you know, I try to say encouraging words to people, and if anybody tells good jokes, I pass them along because everybody can use a good laugh.
Oh, good, because I think I'm going to try again. I think on Saturday I'm going to do another comedy
show
on the radio.
Good for you. Yes, good for you.
Yeah. It just takes a lot of wind to do it.
Yes,
because I'm seated. Of course, I'm seated at the time, and when I'm seated, of course, I really can't use the diaphragm as much to,
Well, I don't know if you ever heard of Joan Erickson. That's Eric Erickson's wife. So when she was in her 70s, she wanted to dance, and so people rigged up, a contraption so that she could fly across the stage. Isn't that inspiring?
Yes.
Yeah. So you and I have something to look forward to.
Yeah, okay. It's one way to waltz, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Deus ex machina.
Oh, gosh. So what do you think? How long do you think this thing is going to go for?
Well, you know, I think even the experts don't agree. I mean, I think this is going to go on for at least a year or so. I mean, some people are saying 3 years. So that's kind of horrifying. But
yeah. It is. I mean, I don't go out that much anyway, but actually what I'm basically dealing with is, what am I going to write about this week? You know, because I still keep up writing for the paper.
Right.
And it's like, I need to find things to write about, you know, or things, you know, that kind of a thing. So,
of course. It's like a pastor has to think every Sunday, what am I going to write my sermon about, right?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not ready to write my third book yet, so.
Right. Well, you know, everybody's sending out recipes because everybody's cooking. And my daughter made bread. She made sourdough bread. So it looked very appetizing.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on Facebook, too, right?
Yeah. So the dough that she got, I got from somebody who got it at their wedding 57 years ago. So
really?
That's a sourdough that it's passed on for a long time now.
Oh,
and it's still alive.
That's how it grows? It gets passed on? I mean,
you keep feeding it and it grows. You keep it, and then you keep feeding it, and you give it away to people, and then they keep feeding it, and then they give it away to somebody else. So,
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, Laura made some masks, and somebody gave her some sourdough starter, and I gave her some sourdough starter, too. So,
What is she making the masks out of?
She gets material, and then she puts in a respirator filter inside of it.
Oh, okay.
So that you can wash the mask, the outside of the mask, and then you keep the filter clean, and then you can use it again. Which, you know, for people who are not doctors, you don't have to have the N95 respirators. So all you need is to cover your face, and you have a little extra protection with the filtered. So.
Do you find when you go, I'm finding that people, like when they tell me they go out, and I say, where'd you go? Because grocery stores are open, I think people are finding like just going to the grocery store is at least something to do.
Oh, absolutely. You know, shortly after I gave birth to my second child, I went to a journal club from my work, right? And one of the older attendings said, oh, you know, when I was at that stage of life, even going to the dentist was pleasurable just to get out of the house.
I find it fascinating that the first thing people wanted was to be able to get a haircut, and I thought, oh, what? Really? That's the most important thing? That and the tattoo? Am I missing something?
Well, yeah. So I have an interesting fact for you, factoid.
Yeah, go ahead.
The average American uses 41 rolls of toilet paper per year, and the average Chinese uses 14 rolls of toilet paper per year.
Really?
Yes. Isn't that interesting?
Why do you think?
I don't know. I mean, Americans are used to plenty, so they don't really think about economizing.
So they'll take a wad of it, even though they don't need a wad at the time.
Exactly. They'll roll it around their hand. You know, they'll take like a whole wad of it and then use it like that. And Chinese people, up until very recently, you know, didn't really dispense toilet paper in the public toilet, so you had to bring your own toilet paper, or you would have to buy it from somebody. So, you know,
really?
So they're used to being very economical about toilet paper.
Well, that's an interesting thing. People also coming up with, like, go into the shower,
then bidet, you know, people use a bidet, and then you can just, that's actually the cleanest. But anyway, so I have a funny story for you, since you are giving me the time. We went on a tour of China at one point, and one of the boys says to me, I need to talk to a male faculty member. I said, why? He goes, no, I just have to talk to a man. So I said, okay, so let me find a guy. So I got a guy, and the kid says, so which way do I face? Because the toilets were just a hole in the ground, so he didn't know what to do.
That's very funny.
I know, the little things that we think of or don't think of.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah, I keep, you know, wondering about, like, now that they have, like, bathrooms for, like, co-ed bathrooms, you know, like, does everybody just each go into a stall at each time? Because, like...
Yeah, I mean, that's what people do. You know, when I went to college, first of all, it was the first year that boys were allowed to move into the girls' dorms. And then there was a huge discussion as to whether the boys should be on a separate floor or they should be integrated with the girls. And my roommate was putting up an absolute fuss about it. And I said to her, I said, well, you have a father and a brother, so, I mean, what's the big deal? She goes, well, you don't understand. She goes, you know, because I could be dating somebody and then I'll be in the bathroom and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, fine. And then she asked me, she goes, what would your dad do if you got pregnant? And I said, well, I wouldn't have to worry about a thing because I'd be dead. So, you know.
Well, by the way, people, just so people know what you did, she's past the age of pregnancy. Yeah. So, but well, that's real. This is really fun. But it's what I find interesting is what people have to do to adapt. And if you think about it, they have to go back to when certain things just weren't there.
Yeah, well, you know, we really do appreciate the simple pleasures of life such much more. I have a friend who's 100 years old, and so whenever I make a pot of soup, I make sure to bring him a container of soup. And he's so happy, you know. He texts me and says, you know, I just had your soup for lunch. He was married for 71 years, and he lost his wife of 71 years just this February, so he's all by himself.
What kind of soup do you make? I'm just curious.
I make French vegetable soup, and then I also make a kind of, you know, a variant of grain and beans kind of soup, so two different kinds of soup.
Okay, so you're not focusing much on meat and red meats or... Well, you
oh,
are
no, my,
or what?
My husband, you know, my husband makes the meat soups, so I just focus on the veggie soups, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, we have to, well, that's one of the things we'll have to say. If the meat is not available, just shrug your shoulders and say, okay, meat's not available, and
yeah, exactly.
Eat something
so,
else.
You know, yeah, eat tofu.
Yeah, right. Just, you're not gonna, you know, you're not gonna die if you don't have meat. You just make sure you have some other protein.
I mean, exactly. So, you know, I mean, I grew up in Europe right after World War II. So, I mean, even though I didn't live through World War II, I certainly have the memory of all the adults around me remembered World War II. So, I was quite conscious of people having to deal with rations and just a shortage of a lot of things. When I was four, my father took me to visit the widow of his violin teacher, and she told a story that she went to the farmer to try to get milk, and the farmer was fresh out of milk, and says, well, I'm sorry, madame, I'm sold out. She goes, but I see three drops of milk in your pail. Could I just have those three drops so I could make a cloud for my children? in their water. So I never forgot that story. You know, that makes an impression on the 4-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just so it looks a little like there's
milk
in there.
Yes. Yeah. So she wanted the 3 drops so that all her children would have, you know, a little bit of a white cloud in their water.
Oh, that's, one of the things I started doing in terms of meat is I would buy, I'd buy the bones, and the bones, like, from the neck,
mm-hmm.
which is like, they don't look like neck bones, like, you know, when you get pork bones and they're pork neck
right.
bones, but these look more like when you take a chuck steak. And you
yes.
take the bone at the top. And when
right.
I get them, there's just enough meat on them. And
right.
what I do is I make a stock out of that.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
Uh-huh. To make the soup.
Yeah.
So I'm having the protein. I'm just, and a little bit of the meat. I'm just not
right.
having too much
right.
of it, you know. And
right. That's right.
Or I also get chicken backs. And I
right.
do the same thing.
Yep.
You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's and get protein from other things, and you know, well as I said,
plants have protein in them too. So
yeah, I just have to figure out what veggies that I like, or rather that like me. There are certain vegetables that just, you know, they
disagree
don't,
with you. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I got like as much like broccoli. You can't, no matter what you do to it, it just doesn't agree with me. And
okay,
it's not
well,
the taste, but just, you know, and
yeah,
so
I mean,
go, all right, let's try and find something else.
Right.
But, yeah. So, all right, so when you do this, the thing, you know, your violin piece, definitely want to not only be able to see it, and I hope you probably won't mind if I, like, share it with other people.
Of course not. You know, we have a one-minute video that our videographer put out last week, so I can share that with you. It's not about me, but it's about the orchestra. Yeah. So you can see what he's able to do with a ton of work to put together. But you know, he attends all of our rehearsals, and he has different rooms where the kids can be in and they can visit each other. And so, you know, if anything, at least it keeps everybody connected.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after the phone number that you're calling from, what is that number, by the way? I'm not going to announce it, but what is that?
Well, I have a phone, home phone, and as well as an orchestra phone. So if it starts with 888, it's the orchestra phone.
Oh, so if I were to call you after and
yeah,
the
reason I use that rather than my cell is that sometimes my cell has poor connection and people can't hear me. So
okay. Okay, I'm going to just write this down here.
Sure.
Okay. Because I just wanted to ask you a question, but I don't want to ask it on the on the internet. But anyway, so I'm glad we were able to talk, and it gives me something else to write about anyway.
Well, thank you. I mean, it's always a pleasure to speak with you because you have an upbeat personality.
Yeah, I have no choice. My next door neighbors don't know, but I'm getting a proclamation for each of them from the councilman. they don't know it yet.
That's wonderful.
I don't know. I have to find things to do, and as it is, the reason is that the husband is a firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
His wife is a teacher, and
oh my
I keep
goodness.
thinking, and they got 2 young kids, and all I keep thinking about is God, how are they? Now, especially if you have someone who is a teacher, and
yeah,
then
working
you have
at
two
home,
kids.
Right. Working from home is very challenging with kids around all day. Yes.
Yes, so it's got to be teacher and parent and everything else and
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, they're the true heroes. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, so that's why I thought about her and he's really going at it. You know, he's a captain already.
Wow.
Fire department. And he's a young guy, too.
Uh-huh.
But,
well, that's really good.
But one of the things that, I mean, he's already, like, gone on to one disaster or something, you know. So I just think, you know, another hero, two different types of heroes.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Yep,
you know.
Yep.
But anyway, so I'm glad we got to talk. I'm glad, you know, anytime you have anything to share, even about whether it's about the orchestra or whatever.
Right. Right. Well, we're trying to fundraise like crazy because we are still trying to keep our faculty employed. So.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay. When I.
When you share.
I'll let you know
our,
when I put.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you want to say about that with the fundraising? Anything that I could put into the article?
Well, you can point them to our orchestra website, www.childrensorch.org.
Okay.
So, yeah, and if anybody who loves music and children has any spare cash, we could definitely use it because we still have to. We bought 125 microphones for the kids, and we got them distributed within a week, which I think, you know, I didn't realize that I have it in me to be a warehouse distributor.
Okay. That's another job, huh?
Another title.
We
just don't realize that these things you know, I mean, Michael said, oh, he'll be glad to distribute them, to drive them places. But I had to figure out how many spots to put the microphones in so that people can pick up at convenient spaces. Because the way they had it set up was that one family was going to have 50 microphones. That's just way too much for one family to deal with, you know. So we tried to divvy it up so that no family had to deal with more than 10 or 15 microphones.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll get that out there, and I'll talk to you in a little while.
Sure. Okay, great. Thank you so much for inviting me to talk on your show.
You're very welcome.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye now.
Okay. So I'm going to end the show. Here they come. Good. All right. I'm going to end the show. So everybody have a nice day, evening, or whatever. And stay safe.